Hey friend, welcome to the Ashley O Show. My name is Ashley O'Connor and I started this podcast when I became a nurse because I wanted a space where I could be honest about my experience caring for others. I knew I couldn't be alone. I'm talking about the fear, the obstacles, the trauma, and the challenges of working insane shifts, learning more than I thought possible, witnessing the most heart-wrenching and the most beautiful moments in a life, and doing it all while trying to take care of myself. Everyone said it was impossible to be healthy as a caregiver and I just refused to accept that as a reality. Now, I am living as a registered nurse turned health, fitness, and career coach for my fellow nurses and caregivers who are trudging through the same mud, trying to solve the mystery of how to stay healthy in a world that is telling you to put yourself last. The Ashley O Show is a space where nurses and caregivers come together to understand that their identity extends beyond the humans that they care for, where the hardest workers in the room can have honest and authentic conversations about what is holding them back and the changes needed to move forward. I am here to help you fit nutrition, fitness, and self-care into a life built around 12-hour shifts. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's definitely going to be scary, but it's also going to be more beautiful than you ever imagined. So it's time we commit to putting ourselves first, chasing uncertainty, and building stronger lives, careers, bodies, and minds than we thought possible. I'm so glad that you're here, and I cannot wait to see the ways in which we change the world. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Ashley O Show. So excited to have you here. Today, I have another high-value tactical interview for you guys to enjoy. We are bringing on Nina Hart. She is a nurse who has made an incredible career. Like, I cannot wait for you guys to hear her entire story. I'm not going to do it justice. But in short, Nina spent over a decade in post-acute care leadership. She very quickly grew and became a leader in her career, working as a director of nursing for years. After she was thrown an incredibly heartbreaking curveball, which you guys are going to hear all about in this interview, she then became the founder of Heart Healthcare Solutions, where she has built a thriving business as a nurse consultant. And now she also offers mentorship and coaching to help fellow nurses pursue their own entrepreneurial aspirations. And in our conversation today, we are digging into it all. We're talking about diversifying your income, creating opportunities for passive income streams, building a career that actually works for you, that is crafted by you, and owning your contributions that you make as a nurse so that you can actually advance your career, ask for and get what you need in order to build the career that you deserve. I cannot wait to hear what you guys think about this conversation. I know that you're going to get so many tactical pieces of advice from our conversation. When you do, do me a favor and share it with another nurse or healthcare worker who you know could also use this information to advance their career and grow. And when you do, tag both Nina and I so that we can thank you personally. I'm not going to keep you from this. I'm not going to gatekeep. You guys are going to love this episode. So we're just going to dive right in. Nina, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks. I am super excited to be here.
We are already dealing with internet issues and all the things. Classic warning.
Just being here is good enough.
Yes, exactly. You're here. That's the resiliency of a nurse, if I know
it.
So I would love if you could just start by just telling us a little bit about your story, your background, setting the stage for listeners so they know who you are.
Sure. I started as a CNA when I was 18 years old. I've been in long-term care and hospice almost all of my career. I did some short-term rehab when I first got my RN, and my son was born 2 weeks before I got my RN license. And so I did nights on the short-term rehab at the hospital, and that is pretty much my only acute care experience at all. So I'm almost totally post-acute care experience, but I got my LPN, then I got my RN, then I got my BSN, then I got my MSN, then I got my PhD, and I had a kid in between each one just to make it extra exciting. So I have four children, and I've been able to do a lot of different things, but the short version of my story is that I got my dream job. My husband's Hawaiian Japanese. We've lived in Hawaii before. And I got my dream job as the CEO of a hospice in Hawaii. So the pay was amazing, better than I ever could have imagined. They moved us over there. We got there. And then 5 weeks later, they fired me for no reason at all. Brought me in, said, it's not working out. We're going to go in a different direction. Thanks so much. And I was just, to say that I was floored, I literally sat in the termination meeting and just said, wow. I literally said nothing but wow. I was like, wow, 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 wow. I was so surprised and shocked. And I've never been fired before. I've heard of it happening in corporate, you know, corporate healthcare, people getting walked out, administrators getting walked out, CEOs getting walked out, you know, DONs, directors of nursing getting walked out. I've heard of it. Just never happened to me. I thought they must have done something. Surely something, there must have been a reason, right? No, I don't think there was anymore. So I had only been there for 5 weeks. I signed a 12-month contract for a house in Lanikai on the ocean with my new cushy CEO salary for $6,000 a month. And I had zero income, none, not a dime. Had just moved over there 1 month ago and started this job, got one paycheck for them so far. They offered me a severance package of 1 month of severance for 2 years of a non-compete, not working for any hospice in the United States. And I heavily considered it. I really did. I was like, you know, I could go back to long-term care. I'll just find something else. I need this money. I have to have it to make this work. And my husband is a very faithful man, and he really prayed about it. And he was like, I feel like we're supposed to stay. We came here. This wasn't about a job. We're just supposed to wait. And you know, so we just waited. And I was applying for jobs. The day before I got fired, they said they were going to talk to me, and I had a bad feeling about it. So I started applying for jobs then. And my husband's like, Nina, you're getting promoted. They're going to put you on the board. You're going to be the president. You've never been fired. Why would you think that? You're getting promoted. And I said, I know what it feels like to be promoted, and this is not that feeling. And so I started applying for jobs that day. And one of the jobs I applied for was a regional quality assurance performance improvement specialist for a hospice, a local hospice there. And so the next day I get fired, I go home, I'm just kind of reeling, you know, what now? We're trying to figure out if we're going to go, if we're going to stay, what we're going to do. What do we do now? You know, it's no money at all. How are we going to pay the bills? And the physician calls me and he says, hi, you applied for my regional director of quality position for our hospice here. And he said, I filled the position. I got a friend in New Mexico who's going to do it remotely. And I wanted to call and let you know that. And I was like, wow, well, thank you so much. You know, usually you hear nothing, right? You apply for a job and it's crickets. And you're like, man, whatever happened to that job I really wanted? So he said, I just wanted to call and let you know it was filled. And I said, well, thanks so much. And he said, I'm just curious. You know, it looks like you started working as the CEO of this hospice like a month ago. And you've got, you know, why are you applying for this job now? And at this point, I already knew I wasn't getting the jobs, right? So I have nothing to lose. And I said, well, you know, just to be honest with you, they fired me and I don't know why. I don't know if it was something I did, if they, you know, they just said it wasn't a fit and they decided to go in a different direction. And they moved me over here and I did the best I could. I thought things were going okay. And then they pulled me in and let me go. And, you know, I really don't know why. And he said, yeah, yeah, me too. I actually started that hospice and, grew it to, you know, what it is now. And then they let me go for no reason too. And I was like, wow. He's like, so that's why I was asking, because I started my own hospice once they let me go. And I saw on your resume that you were doing, you did a big accreditation project with your last hospice on the mainland. And I'm wanting to, become accredited and switch my accreditation. I was just wondering if you would want to do that, like on a consulting basis, just help my team, as a contractor, with that accreditation process. 'Cause we don't know where to start. And I said, I would love to do that. You know? And he said, well, here's what I think. I can guess what they were paying you over there, 'cause I did that job. And he said, so I'll go ahead and start you at $150 an hour. And you can just work from home whenever you want. I don't want you to come into the location. You know, the staff might be confused, and it was during COVID, and he didn't want people coming in and out and tracking, you know, doing all that tracking and such. So he just said, just work from home. We'll give you the logins, audit the charts, And we'll just pay you $150 an hour for whatever hours you want to do, however long it takes. Does that sound like that could work for you? And I said, yeah, I think that could work for me. Yeah, that could work. Because I had been driving, my CEO job was an hour from my house. So I was 6 to 6, Monday through Friday, then on call all night long. So, you know, I was not enjoying the new job, but I had just committed to this huge thing. So I certainly wasn't going to be like, no, it's not a good fit. It's not working out. Right. Like there was no room for that. And so, yeah, so I started with them, started doing that, and it was amazing. It was a really great experience. It ended up being almost $200,000 for my first contract ever. And what's funny is just how all of this, is what I had always wanted. I wanted to have my own business for probably 10 years. When I first got my director of nursing, position in Tennessee, I was looking at opening a CNA school and I was looking at, all these consulting business options and I just couldn't figure out the how. I was the breadwinner. I could not see how it would happen. So, that event that happened was almost 4 years ago. It was in the end of, so I guess 3.5 years ago, the end of 2020. So I've been working full time for myself as a consultant, freelancing, trying different things ever since.
Yeah. Wow. That's, that is a journey through nursing, through every area in it. Like you took that classic like linear path at first. It sounds like you did the classic like CNA,
straight
RN. Yep. And so many of us follow that path. So just starting there, do you feel like you have any, I don't want to call it regret, but would you have done it any differently if you could go back like the linear path, or like, would you have tried to go into consulting sooner? Or do you feel like it worked out the exact way that it was meant to?
I feel like it worked out the exact way it was meant to because of who I am as a person. I'm a very stubborn person. I do not listen. I have to do everything the hard way and figure it out myself. And a lot of nurses are that way, that we are going to figure it out ourselves. So in that aspect, I feel like it happened the way it was supposed to. If I could change things and make it easier on myself, I started to realize pretty quickly that I wasn't doing what I wanted to do and that it was things in healthcare bothered me. The broken system of long-term care bothered me on a really deep level. That's the only reason I ever became a director of nursing. I was a CNA and came home to my brand new husband and said, I'm going to become the DON and I'm going to run this place and I'm going to fix it so that these people get taken care of and so that things are done right. Now, whether that's realistic or not, it did happen, but it is not a realistic or attainable goal. But I did the best I could. But that was my drive for like why I was doing all this was because I just saw how messed up everything was. And I was just sick of it. Yeah. I ended up becoming a vice president over 30 hospice locations in Tennessee at the peak of my success of my career right before I took this CEO position and I was a national utilization manager for 450 hospice locations and did all their DME and supplies and pharmacy stuff. And, you know, I kept thinking like I was working towards something, but it was really unclear what that was. And I just listened to the episode of you and your husband talking about kind of your journey and your communication and just how you guys worked through that. And I really could not have loved that more. I'm serious. I loved that with my whole heart because while I was this area vice president over these 30 locations, I was miserable. I loved the work. I loved having all these directors, these 30 directors that were doing this amazing work. Right. And I loved going to each different location and seeing how different it was, but nothing was ever good enough. And I was always feeling like I had to work harder. I had to perform harder. If I wanted to be good enough, I had to perform. And so this performance mindset is a little dangerous, I think, because as I learned in Hawaii, you can perform and they'll take that paycheck away from you. They guaranteed me that money and I showed up and worked for it and they took it away. And I couldn't do anything about it. The doctor that owned the hospice referred me to his lawyer, and I went to an attorney and worked through the process of what it would look like to either get more severance from them or get severance without a non-compete or sue them for, you know, wrongdoing. I was the ninth person they had done this to. And so there was no recourse for me. There was nothing I could do against this company who had done this to 9 people now. So, you know, there is no guarantee in employment. And I learned that the hard way, because I thought as long as I perform, I will get my recognition and I will get my money and I will get my success. And I almost destroyed my marriage doing that during that time when I was the area vice president, because nothing was good enough. Nothing my husband could do was good enough. I felt like everything was on me and I had to take care of everything. And I got in this really selfish, really self-focused place where I could not see that the problem was me and my pride and my focus on myself and what I wanted and what I believed was the way to success. That I almost gave up the most important thing in my entire life over that, really. Yeah. And that was a really tough time for me. And took me a really long time to come out of that really damaging, thought process that I had gotten myself into.
Yeah. How did you get yourself out of it? Like, what was the process of changing that pattern for yourself? Because I'm sure there are nurses listening that feel the same.
I'm going to give you the real answer here. Okay. And it's not going to work for everybody. And I'm okay with that. Okay.
Yeah.
I asked God to soften my heart toward my husband. I told him I knew something was wrong and I could not continue on that way. And he did. And he showed me it was me and that nothing in my marriage had changed except for me and my attitude towards him. And over time, that perspective changed and literally just crushed my heart for how I had been treating my husband. And that is the real answer. If you're not a spiritual person or a faithful person, I would say using whatever resources you have to look inside yourself and say, if I'm the only thing I can control, am I controlling that?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't. I wasn't controlling myself. I was trying to control everybody else. I was trying to put all my unrealistic expectations and all my unhappiness towards my situation on everyone else around me. And I tend to do that as a baseline for me that I have to be really, really careful about. And so I think as we get in this success mindset and we start to internalize things and how we're going to attain that, we can lose track pretty quickly.
Yeah. And I mean, how many of us can relate to that? Like where, especially as nurses, I think we go to work and the work is so draining and hard and negative at times. The environments we're in are so negative that it's so easy to carry that home. Yeah. And then it's so easy to compare what you did to what your partner did. And that becomes toxic too, because it's not fair for us to be doing that. We have completely different jobs if you're not dating a nurse, right? And that can destroy relationships.
It will. Yeah. And the other thing I want to tell you is, you know, why I loved your episode with Daniel so much is because I set up this course platform in 2019 and I put all this director of nursing training material into it. Never said a word to my husband. I felt like he wasn't going to support that, or I knew in my heart that I just could never quit my job. I'm the breadwinner. I pay for everything. Was realistic, I guess. I don't know. And so, you know, I hid that from him and really never shared it with anyone else. And so when I was in Hawaii, after I got fired, it was actually Memorial Day weekend in May. And I had been talking to a group of people. I had been pursuing this consulting thing now, you know, for several months, for probably 5 months, I'd been doing this consulting thing. So I really started leaning into what this business would look like. And this coach said, you've got all these materials from what you created for education, for your team, and for improving your other companies, you know, why are you giving that to them? Like, that's yours. You made that, like, you know, put it out there for other directors. How many hours would that save them for a brand new director? So I stuck it in a little folder in my course platform for $27 for 30 forms that I had made, stuck it out on the Facebook internets and said, hey, this is a packet of education that I made that I think could save a new director time and stress and tears and help their improve their facility. And that's what I made it for. And if you want it, it's $27. Went to sleep on Friday night of Memorial Day weekend, woke up on Monday to $3,000.
Yeah.
So over 150 of them had sold from that one Facebook post.
Yeah.
And so at that point I realized, hey, $3,000 in a weekend, I didn't leave my house. I think there's something to this. And that's when I started with passive income and passive income streams for different aspects of my business. Now I have tons of passive income streams, courses and digital downloads and, you know, workshops and things like that. And I really enjoy that. And they also like bring in this foundation to my business that if, you know, I'm having a month where I only have my base contracts and I don't have a whole lot going on, I know that I can either do a promotion for my passive income or it's going to come in on its own unexpected. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
big shift in money mindset.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Huge catastrophic shift in money mindset. And now as of today, you know, my husband is coming on as a partner in my business. We're flying out next month for a huge opportunity to acquire another business. And so, you know, there were so many mindset shifts I had to make. Instead of like thinking that he wasn't supportive, I was putting that on him because I didn't want to hear his opinion. And so because his opinion didn't look exactly like mine, right? Like I'm doing this no matter what, and I guess I'm just going to have to do it alone. And that is what I created the world I was going to live in. And so I was doing that to myself.
Yeah. I mean, I did, not the same thing, but something similar, right? Like I kept lots for my husband just because it's uncomfortable. And also, he's going to have different opinions. And nurses carry this one stubbornness, of course, but also this like idea that we have to do this all on our own.
Right.
That's just not.
And that it can't be wrong. And that it can't, there is no room for mistakes. And unfortunately, in life in general, but especially in entrepreneurship, there is all room for, it's all mistakes. like everything I've done for the last 3 years has been one mistake after another. And then being like, well, I'm not going to do it that way again. You know, like that is it. That's all.
Yeah. Just learning. That's the only way to actually learn anything.
Yeah.
So with the passive income, that I think is so interesting to dig into, because there's lots of nurses who are interested, one, in just entrepreneurship, of course, but also just in having their nursing job and maybe having something else so that they aren't in that position where they get fired. Like we don't have all this control when we're working for somebody else. So why not build control into your life in some way, shape, or form?
I love
that. So I'd love to hear like advice for someone who's not sure where to start, like how to start building passive income or just different streams of income.
Sure. I actually have a free, I'll send you the link. I have a free training on passive income three ways, and it's got tons of ideas in there. Cool. And it's just a bunch of different passive options. So I would say the main ways I've seen for passive income for nurses would be courses, digital downloads, recordings like video trainings, things like that, that someone can access on their own. That could be, you know, a planner. That could be my passive income. I want to make this clear. I do passive income for nurses who might want it, but I also do passive income for organizations. And that as soon as you add in a business aspect, you take your money opportunity way up. Okay. The business to business opportunity is where the real revenue starts to come in. I created a manual, right? It's not even really a policy and procedure. It's just an instruction, you know, manual on things. And that's $1,000, right? Sell one. So there are things companies need. When you identify what those are, you can create that and sell that from what you've done before. If you were ever working on a unit and you're like, you know what these people need? These people need a breakdown of what happens when ABC, you know, doesn't equal D. You know, what these nurses on this unit need is this resource and they don't have it. Well, if you've worked on that unit for 10 years, you know what that resource is and you can create it, right? And then you can take that back and say, I've created this resource for hospitals or nursing homes or home health or whatever it is you do, cancer centers. It does not matter. It goes across every niche in healthcare. And then non-healthcare organizations start seeing the things that nurses are doing. And they're like, hey, you might not be aware that this actually applies outside of healthcare, but we're interested in this. And I see that happening time and time again with consultants and coaches and the nurses that I'm working with, that they start having non-clinical, maybe it's still a healthcare tech option. I'm involved with two healthcare different software and tech platforms that sought me out and said, hey, I saw you in this director of nurses group, and here's how we need your knowledge, right? And when you start putting that out there, they need that. So I would say the biggest piece of advice right now for passive income I could give is we are not at a place in the use of the internet and resources where you can make a planner, a day planner, okay? You will have a really hard time making a planner. Now, I have a really good friend who makes a DON planner, a director of nurses planner. And that does really well because that is about the most niche specific thing. Who's going to buy a DON planner? Who's the target market?
A director of nursing.
A director of nursing. Yeah. So you're marketing to such a niche market that I know if I'm a DON, I need that planner. I know it. I know my life is crazy. My job is a mess. I've got to have that planner, right? And so when you're marketing something so specific that the person knows it's for them, that's a win, right? Like you're going to sell it. You're going to sell it to that person because they know I need that. It's for me. But if you're marketing a planner for anything else, literally like anything less specific than that, it's going to be really challenging to sell. And so courses on, I think where nurses get really stuck is courses on self-care and wellness. Although those are amazing things, you're going to have to be way more specific than that at this point in the saturated market. A bunch of online course gurus and passive income gurus call this red ocean. And I talk about this a lot because it means that the sharks are out there. So anytime anything jumps in, if you throw one fish in, the sharks are just tearing it apart and the water turns red. You want to be in blue ocean territory where if you throw out a fish, nothing happens. It's the only fish out there, right? And that's scary because nurses are like, well, how could I sell it to DONs? How many DONs could there possibly be? Like, I'll never make any money off of that, right? No, you have a target market who knows exactly what you sell and they know exactly that it's for them. So, you know, that's really challenging to get in that. And that's a mindset thing, right? Like it's an abundance mindset thing that like, hey, you know what? There actually is enough. There's enough DONs that you can serve only DONs. And then the people who aren't DONs will still come to you. You know, they'll still come to you and say, if I'm not a DON, could this still work for me? And you're like, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a unit manager and I supervise 25 staff members. Yeah, this could still work for you, right? So they will start to realize and start to seek you out and say, well, I'm interested in being a DON. Would that still be a good fit? Well, yeah, it would. Well, now your market has just grown by 50,000 people who someday might be a DON and might need this tool to prepare themselves for what that looks like. So you have to change your thinking quite a bit to work around what that looks like. And the last thing on passive income I'll say is I spent a year and a half putting stuff in a course platform that I never, ever shared with anyone. I spent countless hours preparing, perfecting, typing, putting all of the knowledge in my head about 10 years of being a director of nursing into a course platform. And that was all a very big waste of time. If I could encourage you to do anything, it would be not to create anything. It would be to start talking to people about what they want to be created, start getting that market research in place. Like, what is there a need for? What is there a lack of? What people are wanting? Because I can start talking to them about how I have that knowledge and creating value. You can sell something having nothing created. And that's, I did a course on that at one time, how you can create a Facebook group, literally right this minute, create a Facebook group for whatever you want, anything you want. People who love Stanley mugs, nurses who love their Stanley mug. Okay. There's your Facebook group. Yep. And you can offer bulk Stanley mug discounts or whatever it is right inside that Facebook group without having anything created, and then go from there, right? So you could have a coaching group or a membership created. You could create a Facebook group that is nurses who love golden retrievers. I'll join your membership.
I'll join.
I just got a puppy this last week. And so if you take that super niche nurses who breed dogs membership, and in that membership, it's only $5 a month, and every nurse who gets in can you know, access this, you know, listing or inventory of different dogs that they could, you know, could breed their dog with, or get a discount on puppies, or whatever, you know, dog food discounts, whatever it is in that membership, they can pay you on Stripe or PayPal or Venmo or however you set it up to access that group. And there it is right there. And then you create the content as you go. Then people start asking for nurse dog breeding directories with other dogs. And they start asking you for a book on, you know, how to pay attention to your dog when you work 12-hour shifts. And then they start asking for, can you bring your dog to work PDFs? You know, you start creating the content. Obviously, that's a silly example, but you'd be surprised. Yeah. You know, what people will pay for and what people want. So there's a lot of different things you could apply that to. I'm just trying to make the point that it doesn't have to be healthcare related. You know, you could create something more clinical. You know, you could create something more career. There's a lot of nurse career resources right now. So getting really specific on one, you know, how to become a hospital CNO. There's your group right there. And it's $20 a month. And each month you'll get one characteristic that a hospital CNO needs to have. Maybe you'll get a live interview practice. Maybe you'll get an application review or a resume review. You know, that's what they're paying for. And you don't have to create anything in advance to do that. Nothing. And that's what I think holds so many nurses back, is thinking that they have to have all of these months or years of preparation time to do this. And that is not how it works. You'll never have anything to show for that.
Yeah.
Money. You'll never have money to show for that. You might have a bunch of stuff in a course platform like I did with $0 to show for all that work.
Yeah. Just this reminder to just try something. Do it.
Just do it.
Yep. You have, as nurses, like whatever amount of experience you have or where you've been, you are the expert in something.
You got it.
You've gotten really good at something, whether it is clinical or not.
Yeah. Right?
There's something in your life that you are the person that everyone goes to you for.
And yeah,
asking better questions, gathering the market research, and just trying something. Like, what's it going to hurt? I'm not saying go quit your job tomorrow. Like, none of us are saying that. But try something, because you don't know exactly what's going to work and what's not. You're going to learn as you go. You're going to create as you go. I love that advice, because I think I spent plenty of time doing the opposite too, doing stuff behind the scenes, waiting to share it until it's perfect and done.
And it's never going to happen. Yeah, it's never going to be perfect.
Nope.
Nothing I have currently out selling money, making revenue is perfect. I think I'm getting close to where I'm at, like $50,000 from passive revenue. Now, which, you know, might seem super high to some people or super low to other people, right? Like, I personally know people who are making $1 million months off of things, you know, coaching programs or memberships or passive income. So $50,000 to them and to me seems like, man, that's not where I want it to be. But from 3 years ago, when I literally could not figure this out, you know, I did this all myself. I don't have a tech team. I don't have an IT team. I don't have a website builder. I don't have a course builder. I don't have any of the resources where, you know, people might think, well, she probably, you know, has a whole team of people. No, I did this all myself. I figured out how to put the courses together. I figured out how to do a webinar. I figured out how to make a video and how to do social media and built this business just from figuring things out. And it's really messy. But if I can do it, anybody can do it. I mean, really.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me think of when you started out as a new grad nurse. Like,
yeah.
That was terrifying. None of us knew what we were doing. We had to be really scrappy and resourceful. Like, you have all of those skills already.
Already have it.
As a nurse, like, you've done it all. So just apply those same things. It's going to feel kind of like being a new grad nurse again if you step into any sort of entrepreneurship or project like this. It feels scary.
Yeah.
But you can 100% do it. And that removes that cap that we have. Like, you can only make so much money as a nurse working for somebody else. But it removes that limit if you add entrepreneurship or add other streams of income.
The demand for consulting in healthcare right now is huge, and it is an extremely lucrative opportunity. And it is free to start. When I tell you it costs you nothing, make a Gmail email and a LinkedIn profile, and you are now a consultant. You don't even need a business card, and you definitely don't need a website. It's a waste of money until you have a paying client. You need nothing. All you have to do is know what you do, what problem you solve, and have a way to contact you and start talking to people who might need that help, right? Utilize your connections, utilize your community connections, utilize your prior employer connections. Think about, like you said, what you've done in the past. And it's not your resume. No one cares about your resume in entrepreneurship. Just please keep that in mind. If you're looking at transitioning away from an employment to an entrepreneurship, there is absolutely no one who cares about what's on your resume, because any nurse in the world could be a med-surg nurse, could be a nursing home nurse, could work on any type of unit. They do not care about that. What they do care about is that you fully staffed your unit, that you eliminated infections, reoccurring on your unit. You eliminated med errors from crossed IV lines. I had a coaching student who, her consulting package was education on how she eliminated lines getting crossed and having fatal neonatal errors in the NICU. Okay. And that is a high demand service, because that is risk for them. It costs them money. It's liability, and it's quality of care. You know, who on this earth would want to lose, an infant over something as simple as crossed IV lines because they weren't checked during shift change, right? Mm-hmm. So these are the kind of things that seem so simple. How niche is that? Yeah. Can you get more niche than that? I mean, I can't think of anything more niche than that. And that's a need, because if it saved one baby's life at that hospital, it was worth it, right? And we have to position those things as risk. Right? We need to put it in the way that the hospital knows they need to have it, you know? So when these things happen, when med errors happen, if that's your area of expertise, we have to position that as risk. You're aware of the incident that just happened. Here's how you can prevent it. I can help you. I have a program in place that will help completely prevent med errors in your hospital if you implement it 100%. Can you control whether they implement it 100%? No. Right? The guarantee is not that I will ensure that you implement it 100%. It's I will ensure that if you implement it, it will prevent errors, right?
Yeah.
So we have those skills from things that we've done for our employers. And we have that in there. And it's not that you worked on a med-surg unit for 15 years and you're the senior charge nurse. No one cares. Do not care at all. Anyone could have done that. What you've done is your special talent for making things better. How you solved a problem, a big problem that was expensive, that cost some money, that caused risk, that impacted care. And we've all done it. You couldn't put a nurse in front of me who did not improve the healthcare environment where they worked somehow, right? We all have that. We all have those things about us that are our special thing, our passion. We just, sometimes we get lost in that and don't realize what that really looks like. So for consulting, I mean, this is an extremely lucrative opportunity for nurses.
Yeah. And it takes, you have to claim these things.
Yes, 100%.
You have to, like, own them. The things that you've helped, the skills you've developed, the things you've improved in your hospital, we don't give ourselves credit most of the time. And I think we we think that what we do is not that special or important or valuable, because it's like, well, why wouldn't somebody else figure this out? You figured it out. So teach somebody else.
Right.
Like, why not? Stop undervaluing the things that you do and the value that you bring to your teams.
It's 100% mindset and what you think is possible for yourself. I remember, literally remember, as a DON, a director of nursing, making my first job, I think I made $27 an hour as a director of nursing, right? $27 an hour. Yeah. And I remember talking to my husband and thinking, I will never make $50 an hour. That is crazy. Like, that is just insane that she makes $50 an hour. Like, I don't even know if I'll ever make that in my life before I die. And my last contract, I think I made over $500 an hour for that contract by the time the work was done, because I have a new view of how hourly pay works. What of the value of my hour is has changed quite a bit, and how, what I do with that hour and what the result is from that hour. I can charge whatever I want. If it's a 1 hour consult and I fix a $2 million problem, I'm going to charge $20,000 for that hour, right? like it's how you have believed things to be is how they are. I'm reading A Happy Pocket Full of Money right now, and How to Own Your Own Mind. So those are my two books I'm reading right now. One is an audio book and one is paper. They both talk about quantum physics, and we are literally creating our reality by what we choose it to be. It's proven that you can change your actual reality by choosing it to be something different and putting it out there that way. Yeah. And I mean, I have done that. I believe that to be true. I have seen it happen in my life where it's like, you know, when I allow myself to believe something that limits me, I'm hurting myself.
Yeah. And a nurse right now listening is limiting themselves by feeling like they're trapped in what they're doing, or that they can't change it, or that there's no option.
I believed I could never not have a steady paycheck because I was the breadwinner. I could never take a pay cut. I could never not have a paycheck every 2 weeks, because how would we survive? Well, I can tell you that if you work, 10 hours a week to 20 hours a week at $300 an hour, you don't need to worry about making sure that every paycheck is the same, right? Like it's a totally different reality that you're experiencing when, you know, you work for 20 hours and charge $12,000. You're like, okay, well, that looks a little different, you know? So it's out there. It's possible. You have to believe it for yourself and say, I would have to let go of a little control for this to be possible. Because for me, I wasn't willing to let go of that control. That had to be taken from me with my job for me to realize that there was something different and that it could work for me.
Yeah. And don't, like, I think sometimes, I don't want to call it the universe, but sometimes there are forces beyond us that force us to do the things that we are too afraid to do. But we don't want to wait till that. We don't want to get to that point where somebody forces your hand or something.
Exactly.
Forces your hand.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Exactly. For me, I'm a big person of faith. And I have said several times, like, well, unfortunately, I'm so stubborn that God literally had to take that from me to show me there was a possibility to do it, because I would not have chosen it any other way. And that was my own, no fault of anyone else's but my own, that I would not allow myself to let that happen, to let go, to open. You know, I think, I don't know if it's Dave Ramsey, but he talks about you can't take anything. No one can take anything from you with a closed hand. If you keep your money in a closed hand, no one can take it, but no more can come in either, right?
Yeah.
No money can come into a closed hand either. So you have to be able to let that go and say, like, okay, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to be okay with that. Like, I have to let go for more to come in, and more to go out. So I have really seen that to be very true.
Yeah. Well, Nina, I feel like we could probably talk for a very long time.
Yes, I agree.
I know that there are nurses listening who want to get to know you, who want to connect with you and maybe work with you in some way. Like, so how can nurses reach you? Where can they work with you? Tell us all the ways that we can connect with you.
I would love that. And even if they're not ready for that step, I'm okay with that. And I would just love to connect with you anyway and hear about what you're doing. I'm always happy to, a lot of nurses contact me just on Facebook Messenger, Nina Hart. You know, I do have a website, ninahart.com, that can connect them to see, they can see my consulting. They can see the retreats, the podcasts, the coaching. You can see it all on ninahart.com. Or you can email me, nina@hearthealthcaresolutions, and it's nena@heartsolutions.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear if you have a business already. I would love to hear what you're doing. I do have a group on Facebook, Self-Employed Nurses. And so I share a ton. If you're just not ready to invest in coaching, or you're not ready to start, you know, you're like, I don't have the money, or I don't have the mindset, which is more like the reality of it, to stop what I'm doing yet, but I'm interested. That interest is there. That pique is there in doing something different, or I feel out of place, or I feel uncomfortable and I can't make it right. Self-employment could be a great opportunity just to reignite that passion, even if it's a side hustle, passive income options, just to like light that fire again about possibility and what you could do. There's a ton of ideas in my Facebook group. I do free trainings. I go live in there and talk to people, and people post questions and say, hey, I'm doing this and I want to be doing this. How can I start doing something different? I've got other nurses in there who have consulting and coaching and courses and tons of networking opportunities for business in there. So I would recommend going to that Self-Employed Nurses Facebook group. But if you ever want to talk to me directly, I would love to hear from you and hear what your takeaways were. It's really encouraging for me to know that it touched somebody in some way. So I would love to hear from you.
I'll put all of those links in the show notes, especially that Facebook group, guys. Like, there's something really powerful about getting yourself in a different kind of room. Like right now, maybe your network and your outlet is the bar after three shifts in a row with nurses who are also struggling. You're never going to get out of that space if that's all that you're surrounded with. So surround yourself with people.
That you said that. Doing that is powerful. Things. Yeah.
That's an important
reminder.
You
have to change your scenery. Change the room you're in. Yep. Yeah. I love that, Ashley. That is amazing advice.
Yeah. So guys, definitely tell us your feedback. Tag both Nina and I. I will put all of our information, of course, in the show notes. But thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was great. And
I will see you guys in our next episode. Thank you so much for listening in and committing to your growth in a world that is telling you to stay small. Seriously, it means the absolute world to me. If this episode hit home for you, it would be amazing if you could share it with your friends or fellow caregivers and tag me at Ashley O Show so that I can personally thank you. That way, we can build an army of nurses, healthcare workers, and caregivers who are changing the narrative around what is possible and healing the system from the ground up. I will see you next time. I love you, and I am always rooting for you.